This is Unexpected with Hannah Love. In this podcast, you will gain a new perspective of how God loves you enough to call you to things that you couldn't have imagined for yourself.
Hi, everybody. We are back, and I'm doing a little bit of a hot take today, and I have with me my friend Alex. I am going to toss it over to Alex and let you introduce yourself, and then, drum roll please, we'll be talking about the topic of the day. This is going to be good.
Hi, guys. My name is Alex Rasmussen, and I'm originally from California, but I came out to Nashville a long time ago to go to Vanderbilt. I played lacrosse there, and now I'm a personal trainer here in Nashville and a lacrosse coach. So, yeah, excited to be on.
Thank you, Alex. I'm so excited to have you on. I love talking to, which we met at the gym, and I love talking to like people in all seasons of life, but I really love talking to the 20s or early 30s demographic, especially in the dating world. And that is what we're going to be talking about today, because I have a lot of questions on dating and singleness and honestly, relationships, you know, in general, but how to do that in today's society. And I love you. And I know that you are a believer and you walk with the Lord. I know you came from California. And honestly, not to be rude, but I'm kind of like blown away that you had such a wonderful upbringing in California, in the fact that you all love the Lord. Because I just feel like that you don't hear a lot of that today, or you don't think that when you think of someone that came from California. And so I admire that so much about you. And I love that you are, do you care if I tell everyone how old you are? Okay. So Alex is 27 and she is actually in a relationship. However, I just love talking to people that are in it, because I feel like it's more relatable to hear someone living in it versus a married woman. And I can speak to dating because I've done it, but you're in it right now. And I feel like the dating game has changed so much since I was in it. Like, there's a reel out there or a meme, and it's like, don't you ever look around and feel like you and your married friends caught the last chopper out of NOM? And I'm like, yeah, it kind of does feel that way, because all of a sudden these dating apps came on the scene. So Alex, I'm going to toss it over to you and ask you how it's been dating in your 20s and dating with all of the apps and all of, like, I don't know, the craziness that we have, all that we have access to now.
All right. So I was single for a very, very long time. I've been in a relationship now for almost 2 years. But when I first graduated college, so it was 2019, I was in Nashville, and I felt like the only way to meet people was dating apps, which I feel like, my parents would be like, just go meet someone at the gym. And I mean, what am I going to do? Take out someone's AirPods and flirt with them, you know? So I was, yeah, like, are you single? No, I'd probably get kicked out, you know? So I did the apps, but then honestly, they would make me feel bad about myself because it was so superficial. And I feel like people can meet on dating apps. I know people who have had successful relationships on there, but I feel like, especially as a Christian, it was hard to, people would put that they were Christians on their profile, but then you would meet them and they weren't. And, you know, whatever, do your thing. But I was like, okay, this is not someone I want to be with. And I just, it honestly made me feel so defeated. So before I even met my boyfriend, I was in this phase of like, okay, I'm done. I got off the dating apps. I don't even want to be set up with anyone. I don't want to date anyone. And yeah, just like me and Jesus, me and like figuring out my stuff. And I was totally good with that. But Nashville's a hard place to date because the boys here are in Neverland. They never want to grow up.
Yeah. I do feel like I've heard that from a lot of friends, and I've heard them be like, well, the only way you can meet singles is to like go out to the bars because that's where all the guys are. And that's disheartening because it's like they can't all be at the bars. Like, there have to be some good ones.
And you don't want to, like, it takes the fun out of, like, me and my friends had talked about at one point, like, it takes the fun out of just going with your friends, going out with your friends, or going to whatever, because you're just like worried about how you look and how you're acting versus just like being with your friends and having fun. Cause you're like, am I gonna meet a guy? And most of the time it doesn't work out.
Right.
Which is fine. Again, it's part of the journey, but it's just like, right. it's different.
Yes. Well, and then you and I have had this conversation about how like we do know a lot of girls that like date the same type of person over and over and expect different results. And it is kind of one of those things where it's like, that's the disheartening part. It's like, well, you're saying that you want one thing and then you're dating the same exact thing over and over and over. And that's kind of the definition of insanity, is doing the same thing, expecting different results. And y'all know I just did an episode on standards versus expectations, and you kind of need to sit down, I would think, as a single person and be like, what is my standard? What do I want for my future and for my kids and my family in the future? Because if someone's not able to or willing to meet that criteria, which is really should be like God's criteria for that relationship, then you're just wasting everyone's time versus your expectation of like, I think of physicality. Like I used to have a type before Shay and it wasn't Shay. And again, I think that just shows you how God loves to work in the unexpected, and God knows what you need more then you know what you need sometimes. So this leads me to something that Alex was telling me about, and I was like, we're doing an episode. The world needs to hear about this. She was telling me about this book, and the book is called Attached. Tell us more about this book.
Okay, so I read it probably like 2 years ago. So honestly, probably right before I met my boyfriend. And it talks about how there's three attachment styles. So anxious, secure, and avoidant. Anxious, secure. Yeah, that's right. So basically, I recommend it to all my friends, especially my single friends, but it just makes you more aware of why you date a certain type of person. So if you're anxious, you typically are worried that someone's going to leave you or break up with you. So you basically mold yourself a lot of times to fit someone.
And we all know the girls that like change who they are.
Totally.
To like be what they think their boyfriend wants them to be.
Yeah. And that's, and then those people typically date avoidance. So people who, we know the boys who don't want commitment. We know them. And so the girls who are avoidant or anxious date the avoidance, which is red flag city. And then you have the secure, and those people, they're just good. They're good. But the book kind of goes through, if you're, you know, anxious or avoidant or whatever you are, how to be aware of things, and how to kind of find someone who is a secure attachment style and not get the ick from someone who's not like what you typically go for.
I love that. This is so eye-opening to me. It kind of goes into, you know, I'm such a proponent and an advocate of counseling and therapy, but you can't self-help your way out of like unhealth. Like if it's truly something that like is a brokenness in you, that's something that God is going to have to heal for you. I'm an advocate of therapy and counsel when it is Christ-centered, when that counsel is going to point you to principles in the Bible, to principles that that are God-centered and that point you back to let God do this healing work in you and let Holy Spirit reveal these places to you. But I love counseling because they can equip you with tools.
And you can read, like I'm a self-help girly. I love a podcast, love a book, but you also have to act on the things you're learning. You can't just, right, like you can't just read these things or hear these things and just sit with it. You have to actually act, or you're still not getting anywhere,
right.
Which I feel like sometimes, like you were saying, going back to dating too, it's like you still have to act on, you know, your attachment style, changing it. You can't just expect it to change,
right,
without doing anything.
Right. It's one thing to like get the material, have the resources, have the tools. But if you are not enacting those things, like if you're reading the book and you're like, oh, that makes sense, but you're not applying it, like that's the key. So I'm sure that when you read the book, you were like, oh, this makes so much sense. Did you change anything?
Oh, yes. So it made me realize, I mean, I was totally like, this is me. This is how I act. Like, I was like mind blown. And I remember I was walking on the treadmill reading it at the gym, and I was literally like looking around like, oh my gosh, this is literally me. But so I tried to be more, and it was so uncomfortable, but I tried to be more aware of the people I was choosing to pursue or to not pursue, because I had looked back and thought, wow, there are people that I probably could have pursued that I didn't, because they were secure and it was not the person that I, you know, typically gone for. And so it was uncomfortable and it gave me the ick. And then looking back, I was like, that wasn't the real ick. That was just like me being like, wait, this is weird. This is like not the person you normally date. So then when I met my boyfriend, it did take me a little bit of time to like actually be like, no, this is someone that God is putting in my life. Like, I'm gonna pursue it and like put time into it and see where it goes. Because I have so many girlfriends where it's like not the person they're used to dating, because a lot of times they're attachment styles, and then they end up letting someone go that could have been a good fit just because it was uncomfortable for good reasons, though, if that makes sense.
It does. Because I feel like it's our nature to pursue that, the thing that we're comfortable with. And sometimes the thing that we're comfortable with is actually the thing that's enabling our unhealthy behavior. And so it's like, it would make sense that like two people of a certain type keep going back to that, because it's feeding that insecurity or that behavior that's like the thing that needs to change.
And it's ironic, because you think, well, why would you want to keep going back to the toxicity or the type of person that's not right? But it is what feels normal to you. So even though it's not good for either person, typically, it's still more comfortable than going for something completely different.
And that is not to say that you should just like completely like eradicate what you're doing and like go the polar opposite direction. I think what we want to do today is just say it's good to be self-aware and then take action where you see action needing to be taken. And I think it's kind of like the whole metaphor with like putting on your own oxygen before you help other people. And we talked about this too, but you really aren't able to love other people well in the way that they should be loved if you aren't fully able to love yourself first. I'm not saying that you weren't able to love yourself, but I think an epidemic that we see, and we've talked about this, is girls who, or even men, like people in general who can't be alone. Like they just have a fear of not being with someone, not dating someone, not being in a relationship. Like, you know them. It's like the serial dater, and they're like hopping from one relationship to the next. And you don't ever remember a time in their life when it was just them. And if it was, then they were depressed and like couldn't function. And that's not a healthy attachment either, because I would say that you're borderline going into a codependency. And I love what you're saying about how you were in a season before you met Jack that it was just you. And not only were you okay with that, but you were confident, because in that season, you become secure in like who God says you are, in that identity that can't be met in a relationship with anyone else, right?
And I think it was almost to a fault where I was so comfortable being alone that I was like, no, I'm good.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Me and Shay. And he be bothered.
Right.
And I was like, no, I'm okay. It's me and the Lord. But the funny part about that is, and I've had people be like, well, how do you know? Unequivocally, you know. I literally felt God kicking me out of my proverbial nest. I felt like I was nested and I was comfy and I was like finally secure, I could literally feel God like nudging me to like get out of the nest and that it was time. And I knew it and I fought it for like 3 months. And then I was like, oh my gosh, like we're getting married. Like he's the one. And I've been fighting this, but I fought it because I was like, he's not my type. He's not my type. But God was like, go on, sis. Like this is it for you. And I knew it deep down and I fought it. I'm just saying, we can look at ourselves and we can do a lot of our own like work on us. And once you get to that place where you're really feeling like secure and confident because you're God's daughter first before anything else, that's usually when like it happens.
Yeah. And I think like there is something, like I know it's so annoying when you're single to have your friends or, you know, your parents always say it happens when you least expect it. Because I remember for years, I would just tell my friends, just stop. I know you guys love me, but stop saying that because it doesn't make me feel better that it's going to happen when I least expect it. But it does. It really did happen when I least expected it, to the point that I was just like, I don't even want it at this point. And like you said, right, like thank God I listened though to God being like, this is literally all you've been asking for. And I acted, but it did take a while. But again, it's like it does happen when you're not focused on finding that. It's you're focused on other things in your life and your relationship with yourself and with your faith and other things. That's when it does come. And I think that's when you know you're ready to like take that on.
Agreed. And I think the reason I want to touch on that and why it's so important to like be self-aware of your own stuff and work through some of that stuff. I'm not saying we have to have it all worked out and all figured out before we find the right relationship. Not at all, because we're all constantly on a journey to like continue to like be transformed by the renewing of our minds. However, I feel like we chronically have people that we see who are dating to fix something for them. They think that the answer is to get married. Like they think that the answer is to have it. Oh, well, maybe, you know, we're having all these issues, but maybe we'll have a baby and that'll fix it. I promise you, whatever issues you're having with yourself and then you marry someone or you're dating someone, those things are going to be magnified. Like those things are only going to be magnified when you are like in a relationship with someone who is really making you put your feet to the flames and like work on stuff. Because if you don't work on stuff, you're going to have bigger issues between the two of you. So it's like you kind of do need to have some of your stuff sorted through before you go fishing around thinking that like, well, if I just date this man or if I just get married, if I just have a baby, if we just the next thing and the next thing, you're not actually solving any problem. And you're actually running away from probably the work that needs to be done before you can love that person the way that like God actually intended for you to love that person.
And I think that kind of off of that, it's not our responsibility and it's not our partner's responsibility or whoever to fix us. And it's not our responsibility to fix them. And I think that especially like girls in their early 20s or I mean, whenever, but you, especially when you want to be in a relationship, you'll almost do anything to fit the mold of that person or to explain them or to, and that's not what we're called to do. We're not called to change. We're not supposed to change anyone and they're not supposed to change us. And that's not to say that people can't change, but I don't believe that it's our jobs to, you can maybe turn someone towards their faith or whatever, but I don't think that it's anyone's responsibility to change anyone else. And you'll just dig yourself into a hole if you do that.
We can only be convicted by the Holy Spirit. We can plant seeds and we can point people in the right direction, but you're absolutely right. It is not our job to change someone's heart or to fix them. And in fact, I actually have on my notes here because I used to be a missionary dater and I'd never heard that term until a couple of years ago. And it's really when you're dating thinking that you can save them or that you can fix them. And this is like we wrote down, You'll be the one to do it. And I don't know if that's a complex in itself. I don't know. I'm not a counselor, but there's a couple of quotes we wrote down that we have heard just over and over that just makes you want to like, oh, okay. Things that you have definitely heard your girlfriend say. He has a good heart though. And then this one, you said this one and it is so true. He's different with me. Guys. These are red flags. Here's the thing. This is the issue I have with the whole, he's different with me. He's got a good heart. Like, I know he doesn't mean it, because this is going to put you in the position of defending this person to the point of isolation for yourself. You will be protecting them. You won't be sharing like your own struggles. You won't be sharing fights or things that you've gone through. I'm not saying that you should like, you know, air out all your laundry to everyone, but I am saying that if there are people that have been in your life and that you trust and that love you well, you should be able to go to them for advice. And if you are to the point in your relationship where you are hiding things because you don't want the other person to look bad and you're constantly defending their action, what that's going to do is that is going to make you, let's see, I wrote it down. I said, you're running the risk of losing yourself. So yeah, you're running the risk of losing yourself to keep a relationship.
I think that the people in your life that do mean a lot to you and that you do care about their advice, they shut themselves out because they know that, you know, you're going to come to them for things and you're going to give them your opinion in a kind way, but they're not going to take the advice. You just stop bringing it up and then they stop asking. And then you are isolated because you don't have anyone, because I hate the term like crying wolf, but kind of, because you're not going to change anything. And then when it's all over, you are alone and you don't have, you're trying to build back up friendships or relationships that you kind of destroyed because you were defending this person that probably isn't defending you. So it's like having the self-respect and the self-awareness to change your behaviors. And not theirs.
That is so good. Gosh, I hope that if, you know, if any of this sticks, that someone out there is like, oh my gosh. Even if it's just those two lines of like, that could be a red flag that you're like, he has a good heart. Here's the deal. I used to date guys that called themselves Christians and I would accept it at face value and then realize that by their actions, like that wasn't so. And it's, you know what, it's not my place to judge whether someone's a Christian or not, but I will certainly say that by their actions, they certainly weren't acting like a Christ follower. So do you know the trick that I started using? I would start asking them, okay, I would be like, so when were you saved? I would literally ask them, yeah, so... And that sounds so silly. You could word it differently. It might sound really silly to you, or even like appalling and like too much, but this will save you heartache, because if someone has truly asked the Lord into their heart, they will be like, oh my gosh, like me. I'll be like, I was 9 years old at Cedar Glade Baptist Camp and I went down front, and they have a story. Okay, they're going to have a story of when, like, they'll know the time, they'll know the place, it's not just going to be like, oh, well, I was baptized once. What? Or I go to church. No. Like, if the prerequisite is you want a strong Christian leader for your household, you probably need to make sure that that man has a personal relationship with Jesus, and he will be able to answer that question, when were you saved, with a story or a time of like, this is when I asked Jesus to come live in my heart and this is when like my life changed. He will. And that's just kind of an easy vetting tool, I guess. I don't know. It took me way too many years to learn that one, because I dated all these guys that said that they were Christians and that they would go to church or they would go with me. And I'm like, this is not good.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is watching someone's actions, not listening to their words. And that goes for any relationship, I think. But that's something my parents always taught us is what do people do, not what do people say. And I think once I really paid attention to how people I was dating were acting, that's when I kind of shifted, into having enough respect for myself to say, well, your actions don't follow your words. So you're not who I think you are, and being able to step away from that. But then also making sure that I was doing that too, that my actions were following my words. So was I actually trying to date someone that I said I wanted to be with and, you know, things that were important to me?
We wrote this quote down earlier. We were brainstorming, just brainstorming all the things that we wanted to share and the nuggets. And I did not want to miss this. Exactly to your point, this is what I wrote down. If his character doesn't speak for itself, then you are fooling yourself. And I think that that's true. And that goes back into you being really defensive of him to your friends. And like, if your friends are around him and his character isn't speaking for itself, you shouldn't speak for him, to be honest. I mean, you can, obviously, you're going to feel protective, but like, if his character is not aligning with what you're saying about him, it may be time to reevaluate. And these are just some hard truths, but it's better to have a hard truth up front than to think of the life that you could be honestly trapped in. I used to, years down the road, you could be spending like prime time of your life, like invested in someone that is not right. And I'm not saying that God can't turn all things to the good, because he does. However, I think that God has a good and perfect plan for you if your heart is aligned with his will for you. Okay, the book is called Attached, and it's by Amir Levine and Rachel Heller, and we'll try to drop that book at the end of this episode. Alex, give us, if for all you single gals out there listening or girls in a relationship that are like waffling back and forth, give some advice about like how they should move forward with choices that they make. Because this is like, your 20s is an important time in your life, your early 30s, like dating is a huge deal. And I think especially when we're young, we go about it and it's like, oh, it's fun. But then you get to your mid-20s even, and you're like, maybe I should start getting serious. So give some life-changing advice, no pressure, on what these gals should be thinking through in terms of a future husband.
Let's see. I think that, one, you do have to be willing to put yourself out there, because it's obviously not the most fun. Like, no one wants to go on a first date, really. You know, like, it's not actually the most fun thing. It's kind of awkward. You're not really being yourself because you're trying to be, you know, put together. But I think being willing to go on dates, does that mean you need to go on like a date every week? No, but being willing to, you do have to date to figure out what you want. But then I think spending time with yourself and figuring out what is really important to me, what is the kind of person that I would want to be with forever, and making sure that you do stick to those things, you know, not wavering on, you know, if you say you want someone with a strong faith, not dating someone with not a strong faith just to date someone. So I think finding the things that are important to you, and I don't mean in the sense of like, he needs to be 6'5" and blonde hair and a six pack. I mean, like, what are the qualities? And we're all guilty of that. But I think, what are the actual qualities that I'm not willing to waver on? And then also just saying like, God, like praying over it. I spend a lot of time praying over, this is the kind of person I want. And then like being open to that, but also like not getting down on yourself. It's hard when all your friends are dating and you feel alone. Like, don't be afraid to reach out to people and who are dating. Like, I think sometimes it can be isolating. So don't be afraid to put yourself out there. And don't get down on yourself. You're not going to be alone forever, okay? I thought that I was going to be alone forever, and it's not a thing, okay?
I love it. And I would also challenge you out there who may be single or who may be afraid to be single. If that's the case, maybe push pause and look into that a little more. Like maybe if you're really uncomfortable and you feel like you can't be alone, maybe that is your indicator today that you need to be like taking that to God and be like, hey, why do I feel this way? Why do I feel like I have to be with someone and I can't just be dependent on you? And like, why don't I feel like that is enough right now for me? Because I have often felt like my girlfriends are running from stuff if they just sincerely like can't not be with someone. It makes me feel like there's something in them that they're running from that they don't want to face or that they're unaware of. This is just your episode today to be like, hey, have some self-awareness. Love yourself enough to be self-aware. I love saying to people, I know my own weaknesses, and I think that that is pretty invaluable. Like even as a business owner, like you need to know what your weaknesses are. Because everyone has them, even in a marriage. I know what my weaknesses are, and Shay covers those weaknesses for me. I know what his weaknesses are, and I do my best to cover those in him. And that's what makes it a really healthy relationship. And I think this same thing can be said for someone who is single to be reflective of what's going on with you. Know your weaknesses so you can work on them. Like, don't be offended at that. It's like, we're human and we've got like weak points, and that's totally fine. I'm good to laugh at my weaknesses. I'm not the most put together person. I am not type A. And I lose my train of thought, and there's just a whole lot of things. It's a running list, but I'm fine with that. Honestly, there's grace for it. Know your weaknesses. Be aware if you notice in yourself that you can't stand to be alone, that I'm not saying that you're just sad to be alone. I'm saying that you need to be dating someone at all times. That's a red flag for yourself to start doing the work. It's a self red flag to maybe start doing a little bit of that work and really invite Holy Spirit into that place to be like, hey, like I'm really uncomfortable in this place of feeling alone. So what is that? Work on that. And then love yourself well. Allow the Lord to love you well so that one day you can love someone else well. Like, you're going to love them the way that Jesus wants you to. But if you're dating them so that they're like a life raft for you to cling on to fix your stuff, like you're both going to sink. I have really enjoyed this conversation, Alex, and I'm really thankful that you have hopped on to be vulnerable as a 20-something-year-old who is, okay, this is just a fun little tidbit for anyone that's still hanging on and listening. What are some apps that you've tried that are like so crazy? Because I'm unfamiliar with the dating app world. I have friends that are on apps, and sometimes for fun, we'll be like, let me see your app. And we're like looking through people's profiles. Be crazy.
I feel like I did like the two normal ones, like Bumble and Hinge briefly. Like when I first, yeah, this is not an ad. When I first graduated, and again, some people do have success on there. I just didn't like it because it just, I don't want someone to just like me off my pictures. There's nothing wrong with the dating apps, but I do think you need to kind of set boundaries because you could end up, it ends up kind of being like an Instagram where you're like, I only have this many likes, or this picture isn't pretty enough, or this or that, or this guy doesn't have enough muscle. Right. It's kind of like a game almost. It's not
real people. They're not added.
Right. And so it kind of takes away the personableness. I don't know if it's so to each their own. I personally didn't like it. I have a lot of friends who don't like it. Again, not bashing it, whatever works for you, but just don't let it affect you in terms of like, your worth does not come from Hinge likes or Bumble likes or, and you know what? If you do go on a date and it sucks, like you have a funny story, you know? So yeah, just, but don't go on it the first thing you do when you wake up in the morning, the first thing you do before bed. Like if you do want to go on it, totally fine. Just try to set boundaries for yourself. Like only this time of the day for this amount of minutes, like hold your standards high. Yeah.
I love it. Alex, you have just brought so many nuggets of wisdom for us today. Well, guys, I love you. I hope this has been a fun hot take on something that, you know, Alex can speak to currently. And I did used to date, but pretty sure that like the dating apps came out like around the time that like Shay and I were already dating. So like totally missed that boat. Happy to have missed that boat. I love you guys. I hope that this has been fun. I hope it's been informative. I hope that like you go check out that book. I hope if you do see a therapist or a counselor, I hope that they're Christ-centered. Like this is my encouragement to you to make sure that they are leading you in biblical principles, in sound Christ-centered principles, because as much as we do love self-help, we cannot fix our own selves without asking God to enter in, because he is our creator and he will make those repairs just like kintsugi, you know, the ancient art of the broken pottery, and they mend it with gold and it looks even better than it looked, you know, when it was whole. So encouragement today to get the help, be self-aware, look for red flags, not just in other people, but maybe in yourself, and have fun. Be open to the unexpected, because that may just be where God like has been waiting for you to come all along. Love you guys, and I hope you have a great week. Thank you so much for listening today. If this episode has encouraged you, please feel free to share the show with your family and friends. There's a lot of stuff going on in the world today, and my hope is that this show is a candle in the dark.